Season 9 of RuPaul's Drag Race premiered with a guest appearance by Lady Gaga. So we should have guessed early on that the queen who drew a lot of inspiration from Mother Monster was destined to prance away with a title of America's Next Drag Superstar.
Some feel Sasha Velour is just a stunt queen for using her theatrical tricks and the Lip Sync for Your Life challenges to edge out the front runners Shea Coulee and Peppermint. But in the end, isn't showwomanship what it's all about?
Today, Vivacious! The queen who rests beneath the goddess head, Ornacia, joins us to kiki about the finale of RuPaul's Drag Race, the four finalists, and our new chrome dome reigning queen, Sasha Velour.
Plus, which queens look the best on the runway and which need to step their pussy up.
A salute to transgender queens from Drag Race.
How to collect those cointadas up in that gig.
And RuPaul gets a big pink star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Right now, you have Feast of Fun in your ears because for the last 13 years, a listener just like you took the time to support this one-of-a-kind, in-depth programming. If you like the show, please make a donation at feastoffun.com/donate. And if you didn't like the show, make a donation anyway to help us improve.
Mother has arrived.
Yay.
Yay. Hello,
Chills. Hi, Mark.
Hello,
Hi,
darling.
Hi, Fausto.
Hi, Miss Vivacious. I almost said Miss Velour.
Yes, Miss Velour. I don't have a problem being Miss Velour. The reality is they didn't give me $100,000.
Well, there's always All Stars, darling.
All Stars 3.
So did you get your call yet?
She's not going to
tell
you.
No, I didn't.
I don't even know if they're filming one yet.
They are, actually, they are. Yeah. Willem Belli spilled the beans.
Oh, really? Is he going to be in it?
I think they should film one every year.
Yeah, they definitely should.
They have plenty of bitches to fry in the frying pan.
It's a real cheap show to make. Real cheap.
There is so much. I mean, the bitches already, the all-stars already come prepared and done, honey. Mm-hmm. There are so many children from it now.
Oh, yeah. And they all want to get back on TV. And also, probably the top five from this past season, they all probably had to sign a contract that said, if you want to be in the top five, then you have to commit to being on All-Stars. So you will be seeing Miss Shea Coulee. You will be seeing Peppermint. And you will be seeing, who was the other one?
Trinity.
Trinity K.
The Tuck. We don't even call her Trinity around here anymore. We call her The Tuck.
The Tuck, honey. The Tuck. Let's talk about how beautiful all her outfits were all season long. She represented those pageant girls, but she did it in such nice grace, dignity, elegance, and humor.
Mm.
I think my favorite aspect of the talk was not on the show at all, but was her social media during the season. Like, of all the girls, she really had her A game. And a lot of the fans who follow the queens on, mm-hmm. on, you know, Twitter and Instagram were really entertained by
she's got a great sense of humor.
Oh, yeah.
And especially because she has the ability to laugh at herself when RuPaul was interviewing her when they gave him questions. I don't know if this was in the TV show or the Watergate scandal, the 14 minutes that had been deleted, because there was a lot of questions that happened. I sent you a link to it with featured Pork Chop. And one of the questions was asking about herself. And she said, like, about plastic surgery. She's like, don't do it or else you'll end up looking like me. And RuPaul was like, I think you look beautiful. She's like, in the dark.
there's rumors that Eureka and Trinity are gonna team up to have their own World of Wonder series.
Oh,
because they're besties and they read each other so well.
They hate each other, so they like each other.
That would be a very beautiful thing. They're both so funny in their own way. And you know, Eureka is just a plain old fucking kiki to begin with. And could we talk about that fierce Ornacia elephant on her head, that Ornelephant?
Well, she's representing the Republican Party. Did you know that? She's a Republican. That's why she did it. She's voted for Trump.
Oh, my God.
Don't fuck with me.
I know. I saw your Facebook today. Are you a Republican? What are you doing on my page? Get out.
Yes. Oh, you saw my latest post?
Oh, that comes up every other day, honey.
I know. I'm so.
You're a Republican sniffer. Who's Republican around here? I smell it.
No, I just, if this new bill gets signed, I mean, seriously, the repercussions from it is so mind-boggling, and it's like...
It's dangerous. It's reckless.
It's beyond dangerous. It's like, why are we even at this point with things like this in this day and age?
If it was people from Iraq trying to kill this many Americans, they call them terrorists. If it's white Christians from the South, they call them Republicans.
Mm.
And if they actually did commit the crime itself, oh, he had a mental disorder. Bitch, hush.
So back to the fashion. Trinity's the Tux, fabulous gravity defying hair and costumes in the finale. Wasn't that a work of art?
I loved every fucking thing about Trinity Taylor. She gave life on that stage. She was so poised. She was so eloquent. Eloquent is such a fiercer word than eloquent. She let us have. It's like Trinity will never disappoint you when it comes to is it together.
If God said, Fausto, you can be like any drag queen from Drag Race, dress and look like any drag queen, it would be the
Tuck. I would take everything Trinity the Tuck had to offer. I would too. For the first time in history, this pageant girl wooed me.
Did you notice that a lot of children, and I'm talking like 14-year-olds, 16-year-olds, 18-year-olds on social media were all like, sex work is still work. And sex workers demand respect and all this stuff. And I was like, where did all this sex work? I mean, I'm thinking it's great that they're talking about this stuff, but these are teenagers. So their parents are like, are you hustling on the side? You know, and these are like, you know, girls from the suburbs and stuff like that. Well, I guess there's rumors that Trinity in one of her Instagram feeds or something talked about being a sex worker in the past. And that's why it's all of a sudden a lot of young people are like empowered to stand up for the rights of sex workers.
Well, you know, I believe that sex workers should have been protected from day one. There's no need to look at, first of all, I believe that sex workers is the glue that binds many straight Christian families together.
Mm-hmm. They're all pissed off at you, though, because you give it away.
What one bitch won't do, another one will.
Exactly. And he still comes home smiling and buys you that car because he feels guilty. So you should be happy that he's getting his jollies on the side. It might have been a guilty fuck for him, but it was a rewarding investment for you.
Lots of jewelry is bought because of that. You're right. That's what keeps De Beers and
honey, Swarovski crystals would not be in business if it wasn't for sex work.
Crystals, you want diamonds. Exactly. Crystals are for drag queens. Women want diamonds.
Sex workers are not gonna take the diamonds to that's why they're getting the Swarovski crystals.
It's true. I mean, I know that I know many sex workers that have saved many straight men's lives. I could start listing names, but I think I would crash half of New York City by myself.
They'd come after you, girl. They'd be like, you putting me on blast?
They would come after me. I mean, technically speaking, I was a sex worker at 1.2 when I worked in those straight clubs because I was jawsing half of those straight boys who had wives. Okay, so here's the thing. For the fact that I had no gag reflex and I could literally swallow 13 and a half without even gulping, I was known as Jaws. So jawsing is when I swallow somebody all the way down to the pubic bone and leave nothing to spare.
Go into your safe place.
audience right now.
And for one guy, I played the Jaws theme song right when the shark was about to attack before I swallowed him. He gagged.
But you didn't.
I had to do it, bitch. If you don't call me Jaws, I'm going to live up to my damn name. I don't care.
Okay, Shea Coulee, who brought Whitney Houston back from the grave.
How did she bring Whitney back?
That outfit that she was wearing in the finale, right? They're lip syncing. I get so emotional. Everybody's lip syncing. Everybody's around here. We're all like, I get so emotional, baby. Every time I snatch a crown, and now your fans are feeling down, cause the money from Rue is not going to you.
That's a good rhyme, and that was shady, but I'll let it slide. Listen. From day one, you know, it's so funny. All four girls, I am in awe of them equally. I cannot detract from one to throw to the other, even though one of them does live in my building and I've been friends with her for more than 18 years. That's right. They say all black people stick together, but I don't live in Chicago. So Shay and I can't be that close of friends because I only met her through this season of Drag Race. But I'm so proud of her. I'm so proud of Peppermint. I'm very happy for Sasha. You know, there are some people online that were going, oh, well, she should have probably not have won because she didn't win a challenge by herself. Who cares? Not only that, at no point was she ever in anybody's bottom.
But we're talking about Shea Coulee, though. What Shea brought to the table. She started off the season saying, I didn't came here to play. I came here to slay.
And then she turned into the most nicest, most encouraging person I have ever met in my whole life. As an African-American, and I was screaming. She was my spirit animal all season, and she's still my spirit animal because I already have that encouragement with Peppermint. Because if you know anything about Peppermint, I believe Peppermint is everything that all the qualities that Mother Rue embodies. If Rue ever wanted a replacement, give it to Peppermint. Peppermint is sassy. She's classy. She's very diplomatic. She can walk into any situation and make everybody at the end walking out saying, everybody say love. I don't know one person who can find a bitter bone on that bitch. And I've known her for 18 years. I'm still trying to meet somebody who goes, oh my God, Peppermint was such a fucking bitch. Oh my God, she was such a fucking cunt. Oh my God, she was horrible. But
isn't that a liability though in Drag Race? Like the fact that she was too sweet? No.
It's a very endearing gift in a world full of people who put on drag to be nasty hoes.
Because, you know, with Shea Coulee, you know she's acting. She's a great actress.
She's not acting. Peppermint is not acting.
And let me just draw this thing. It's like, you know, when Nina, Bonina, Banana, Fofana, Osama Bin Laden Brown. She got on Shay's nerves, and Shay was just like trying to be big sister. Everybody say love, and finally she's like, "I am done with you, bitch."
Well, she's keeping it real.
She was keeping it real, but you know, and it's like
you know what it is. In a sense, though, yes, at times you have to mentally knock somebody in the noggin. I mean, Shay has been so pro Nina, and for you to look Nina dead in the face before the finale ended and go, "I know you was talking about me." Really? Come on now. Don't do it. Don't say that. That's the one person who's been on your side all damn season while the rest of them wanted to throw you over a cliff.
Do you think people were threatened by Nina?
I don't think that they were threatened by Nina, but what they all knew was this. Nina also didn't come there to play. And she kept managing to keep moving forward. Even when she got knocked down, she still got up and kept on going. So, yes, when you meet a person who keeps getting knocked down and keeps going, after a while, they do start to become a threat because it's like, girl, if she keeps getting back up, she might knock me down next. So it's not them being against her. It's them being on guard going, I need to step my game up, in the words of T.S. Madison, to make sure Nina don't take me out.
Step your pussy up.
Yes. Nina made those girls stay on their game.
Own a job. Get a job. Own a business.
You know, think about it. Nina was taking everybody out with her lip syncing until Peppermint said, I know how to lip sync too. So, yes, at that point, you do have to worry about Nina, because you're like, girl, I don't know if I'm going to hold up against her the next time that I have to lip sync. You know, she was down at the bottom. And yeah, I mean, think about it. She lasts up until she's in the top six. And what I'm most happy about Nina is, even though previous queens, probably from RuPaul in the state she come from, you know, made sure she never got a job, I'm like, Nina, don't worry about those numbers, because look at your numbers now compared to theirs on Instagram. Mm. And look how farther you went on the show. Look where you are now.
What did you think of her exit when she was just kind of like, sue me? And then RuPaul goes, I might.
I think I should. I will. Right. Actually, I think Nina needs to make a song called Sue Me. Trinity Taylor needs to make a song called I Call Shade. Well,
I'm saying that, like, behind the scenes, they really probably, you know, had the lawyers sit her down and be like, listen, if you don't, because she probably wanted to walk out. She probably wanted to leave or something. And then they were like, if you, we'll sue you, we will take everything you have.
Well, you got to remember, Nina is one of those girls like RuPaul in terms of they have this funny sense of humor, mm-hmm. and they'll latch on to that section. I mean, Sumi can apply to so many things. And that's what's so funny about it, because the show literally is a show built around the litigation. Mm. And she's like, Sumi, she don't give a flying hell. And she's just saying it at different times. And I'm like, Nina, at least you got your catchphrase. You got a few of them. Get them out there. Put them on t-shirts. Put them on mugs, on phones. And pick up your cointadas, as Jasmine Masters would say.
Cointadas. Head to the bank.
Mm. And prove to those, remember, it's like, Nina, please remember, you do not need the acceptance of Atlanta. They can go kiss your ass. They can kiss all the foam sofa pads you have stolen over the years and made your YouTube videos.
Well, Nina did make it to the Nina did make it to the finale, but just not as a contestant at the end. So let's get back to the finale and talking about that, because that's what people really want to hear, our thoughts on that.
Let's talk about Sasha Velour's crown winning looks and performance. I would say she really rose to the occasion. By, reveal something very simple, but it, you know, performance artists in the 90s did this all the time. They have confetti or rose petals, or
there was a
chicken prop, bones.
There was a stunt. Right. It's like how to do a stunt without doing a death drop stunt. Mm. And they know how to work it. It's a reveal,
is what it is.
It's a transformation. Yes. It's also very theatrical, because it's relying on the prop to sort of convey the emotion. But I would also say that Sasha Velour's chrome dome look really added a lot when she, you know, and RuPaul even tweeted this. Girl, never take off your wig unless there's a bucket of rose petals underneath it.
It's true, because remember, the phrase before that is never touch your wig unless you got a fiercer wig underneath. Mm-hmm. And this time around, she came with, I mean, the way how they zoomed in on Sasha with those roses coming out, for a split second, I thought the roses were going to be unlimited. It kept on coming out in more volumes. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you know, and then it stopped, and then she discarded the wig, and you're like, you know, one of the things that I do like is the fact that this is season 9, and RuPaul, when Drag Race first started, the conveyance overall message was, you have to be a fish queen and you have to be a wig queen to be considered a drag queen. And now by season 9, RuPaul has now shown so many different aspects of drag as the winner. Mm. And Sasha Velour represents me, the bald-headed queen, the queen who don't believe in hair, the queen who believes in attachments to the head, you know. So maybe now some of these internet villains, you know, these Valentinas and all these other children can stop trying to decimate other drag queens who have a different aesthetic.
Well, there's always been ball like. Drag queens. There's been Nina Flores. There's been Angina. There's been the Puntha.
Right. But they've always given them flack for it. So mm-hmm. by now having a winner in the ball-headed sphere of things, maybe now they will, you know, pull back in terms of the amount of vitriol they
There's some vitriol coming at Sasha. Still, she's saying she's getting a lot of backlash. She did an interview with NPR and she was saying
that
she was really kind of surprised. She goes, this is a quote from her from the article. She goes, I mean, it's been one of the biggest things I've gotten pushback about is being an intellectual and what that means. I grew up in a house of intellectuals and for me, it wasn't like a negative thing. And what I've discovered is for a lot of people, it is. But I think knowing history, liking to talk about ideas, like I just genuinely like to geek out and go on these intellectual thought journeys. I want to show people it's not elitist to be a deep thinker. Because some people are really just like, there was a whole video, I'll share it with you, of like how terrible she is because she's smart and she likes to remind us that she's smart.
That sounds Sasha? Like a Trump's talking point.
I know. That's why she's like the winner for Trump's America.
Yeah, make America smart again.
Mm-hmm.
Sasha? Please continue to educate these little dumb gays, because the sad part is 90% of this new generation don't even know their damn history mm-hmm. in terms of where they come mm-hmm. from, who fought for them from before. Mm-hmm. If you mention Marsha P. Hansen's name, they look at you like, who? Who's that? You know, you mentioned Varla Jean Merman's name, they look at you like, who's that?
You know, since we talked about the roses, do you think Valentina's little gimmick on Instagram telling people to send everybody roses from RuPaul's Drag Race was a reference to the finale?
No.
That was done afterwards. I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing.
I want the receipts. Timestamps.
I'm sure she was trying to get her, because like that's the first thing I thought of. I was when those roses came out. I'm like, that little bitch Valentina, and I kind of liked it though too, because it was kind of like she took her this great queen's. She's like snatching everybody's moments. She's just like, you had this great moment, Sasha. I'm gonna take that too.
It's true.
Well, you know what? I don't think mm-hmm. Valentina. If anything, I would say Sasha Velour took Valentina's roses for herself.
No. It's because it was the Instagram thing came after the finale was taped.
After the taping. She knew what she was going to do.
She knew. She saw it. She saw the performance. And then a couple of days later, she's the one that put out the Instagram thing, like, send everybody roses. Oh, aren't I cute? Roses. It'll all make sense later.
That's it.
but you know what? I feel sorry for those Valentina mm-hmm. fans, because before Valentina made it to Drag Race,
mm-hmm.
every right around Valentine's Day, I sell Valentination Ornations.
Mm-hmm.
So are y'all going to get pissed when I say get your Valentinations? Because guess what? That name was around before Valentina existed. So, don't come jump on my ship and mm-hmm. try to think that you're going to queen beehive me with all that hateful. I said, for all you little drag queens out there that follows Valentina, I'm that type of queen. I will come to your house and smack you in front of your mother. I'm that queen.
What about Sasha Velour's dad and her boyfriend hugging each other? Wasn't that a sweet moment? And Sasha Velour's dad is just like, he was like...
He was in it. He was having such a moment where he was like so... What's the word? It was beyond joy. He was just in there and he was so happy that his, you know, there goes his little... boy, daughter, you know, up on that stage at a grand finale, giving you energy and life. Did you see his reaction when she won? He was like in hysterics screaming.
I wish that every person out there could have a relationship with their parents mm-hmm. where their parents just look like at that. Them and mm-hmm. say, you are the best part of me.
Well, he's probably jumping up and down because he's like, I don't have to pay off that school bill to Vassar anymore.
Yeah, girl. Student loans, I'm free at last.
Did she go to Vassar?
Mm-hmm.
That isn't that a girl school?
I think so. I don't know.
That's a lesbian. That's a lesbian. We back in the early 90s, we used to call that the lesbian college.
It is. Yeah. Mount Holyoke, the seven sisters, Mount Holyoke, Vassar.
I read an article. Wesley. She's a Vassar educated Fulbright scholar, and she's the child of professors. So she's the child of smart people.
Who's a Fulbright scholarship?
Sasha was. I think that's how she went to Moscow.
What the fuck?
Oh, hold on a second. Sasha Velour has ties to Russia?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
Her head's the giant Fabergé egg.
Better call Comey, honey.
She's a child.
Investigate.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Maybe that's why all the drag queens are calling for the FBI to investigate.
They want a recap because they're like, Trump rigged the election so a Russian could win drag race.
Putin rigged the drag race so a Russian drag queen could infiltrate. And well, she's going to be, you watch Sasha Velour is going to be like, Trump is not that bad.
I doubt she's going to say that really at all.
Like, he's really good people, there's no need to hate him so much. Even if she was a Russian infiltrator, you got to give Mother Ru credit. It's like she just gave us a liaison between Russia and the LGBT community.
Listen, Sasha Velour said that when she was living in Russia, she was fearing for her life. She was like on the down low about everything.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
I can see that happening.
Were you shooketh that Sasha won, considering you were really rooting for Peppermint?
Okay, so check this out. On March 10th, I think it might have been like the second week or the third week of Drag Race airing, I sent a message to Sasha Velour and I said, I get the strange feeling you're going to be the winner of the season. And it was because I kept looking at all her looks. And the one thing all her looks reminded me of was Nina Garcia from Project Runway. Remember how Nina always picks apart the contestants on Project Runway? But what makes Nina live for somebody is if all their looks keeps coming up fiercely editorial.
Mm-hmm.
And for some strange reason, the whole season long, Sasha Velour's looks were extremely editorial. There was not, a lot of drag queens put on makeup and you can see the cracks and the lines in between and all the flaws and imperfection. And hers just looks very smooth.
Mm. Photoshop.
And her face looks very porcelain. It's very, she is so snatched. Her face is so snatched, it's snitched. And she's been given that face all season long, where other people, when you look at their makeup, you're like, yeah, girl, you look like Vivacious did your makeup. You might want to fix it.
I watched it live, the finale at the Metro here in Chicago, and it's kind of like one of Shay's home places. She had lots of friends work there, and it was a big venue. And
she was a regular at Queen.
Yeah, regular at Queen, and which is one of their nights there. That's mostly at Smart Bar in the basement. But anyway, so they when they did the testimonials, when people like phoned in or did their video things, then Katy Perry came up with a video message for Sasha. I was just like, oh, Sasha's gonna win, because somebody like Katy Perry's like, I'll do a video testimonial, but only if my person wins, because otherwise she'd be like, I don't want to be associated with a loser. As soon as I saw that, I'm like, going to Sasha.
It's that you're I'm going to agree with you on that point of thought, because that's kind of like a foreshadow right there. Mm-hmm. It's not only that, it's kind of like how in all the other seasons past, before the girls were before the season aired, all of a sudden, once they told the girls were now allowed to be revealed to the public, you would see they put up for bookings, contact David Charpentier. And at that point, you're like, top five. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, you're like, yeah, if you see people put up David's name, you're like, oh, I'm going to book that queen. I know she's in the top. So, yeah, to kind of see Katy Perry, do a little... Mm-hmm. That is kind of like a foreshadow. Well,
it's interesting because it was like the season started with Lady Gaga and then it ended with Katy Perry.
Well, and Sasha Velour
winning
the crown. I mean, it started with Gaga, ended with Gaga, with the queens gagging over somebody that very much tied and inspired to of Lady Gaga's performances taking the crown. So in some ways, like Lady Gaga, once again with Sharon Needles, she tweeted her support for Sharon Needles in season 4. And this season, it's like the weird queen won. We accept her. We accept her. One of us. Gooble gobble. Gooble gobble. One of us.
Have you ever seen Freaks?
No, I haven't, but I love that.
You might be able to see some of it on YouTube.
It's all the entire movie's on YouTube.
Yeah, it's very much like Drag Race.
I like the fact that you have Chance.
Oh, yeah.
In my head, I see y'all in front of a cauldron. Dressed as witches.
Well, the movie Freaks is about Todd Browning was the director, and really quickly it actually starred all those circus sideshow actors, performers who had disabilities of one kind or another, and they used that to be their showcase talent. And so you had a man who was famous for not having arms or legs, little people,
the bearded lady,
you know, all this stuff. And these were these real life performers playing themselves in a movie. And so there's this one scene where this woman is manipulating the little guy because she's trying to get his fortunes, right? And so all the circus sideshow people are the freaks are sitting in the table. And they're all like going, we accept her, one of us. And they're chanting. And the woman is so disgusted that the what she considers inferior, the freaks, right, that she stops and then says, stop it, freaks. And she runs off. And
but they get her.
But eventually they find out that she is trying to steal this little person's money. Sorry for using the M word there. And at the end, they find out that she's the real monster, just like RuPaul's Drag Race. The monster.
Oh, don't you ever call RuPaul's Drag Race a monster.
No, sense that it's we're celebrating the misfits, the outcasts, mm-hmm. and they're the heroes. They're the good people, and the people who are like looking down upon them, they're the real monsters.
So the it's a monster in ratings. So the season finale on Friday had was the most watched of the series ever with 859,000 total viewers, and the season finale was up 218% over last season's finale.
So should Drag Race keep the new format for the finale? Because having the four of them lip sync allows them to showcase their performance.
From what I understand, somebody on social media was saying that they've worked in production there and they've actually been tossing this idea around for a number of years. And so this is the first year that they've actually, done it.
I think for the fact that the show's strongest quality is you have to lip sync for your life. Mm-hmm. I think this is a beautiful thing because at the end of the day, it shows if do you really have the chops or not.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. It's, you know, RuPaul sat there and factored in everything that happened only on that day. Mm-hmm. She looked at what did you do for me in this performance? Mm-hmm. That's all that matters.
Well, she looked everything at the there was a lot of questions she asked the people that didn't make it. And you can see segments over the 14 minutes. So I think that certainly played into it, because when you see that, you see how beautiful and eloquent Sasha answered questions and was so into it. And a couple of the other people were just a little awkward with that. But also, too, you know, somebody like Sasha, you never got to see her actually do a lip sync during the whole performance.
Lip sync, did she not deliver, mm-hmm. honey?
Well, she has one of the keys, you know, because we've all seen queens go up there, and if you know, you've got to just do something that's going to wow the crowd. And we saw that with Peppermint, too, when she danced against Trinity and she had that reveal with her dress. And it was just like, wow, because everybody just went crazy for that. And then when Sasha did her reveal with the roses, and then later she took off her egg head again, it was like that wow factor. And when you do that kind of reveal, because what is drag? Drag is about showing who you are by revealing something about yourself by not being who you are. You know, it's kind of like a strange little thing. And when you do that kind of revelation, you're just kind of like, you're taking that to another level. So I'm really kind of surprised, like, you know, Trinity took off something, which is something more like a stripper does, you know? And so well, it's not really a reveal, right, but also, I was really kind of...
She also took it off too early.
Yeah, she took it off too early, but it's also, there's not a wow factor with just like taking something off. There has to be, you're just a stripper, you have to transform. And so I'm kind of a little surprised that Shay didn't have something like that, because she is such a strong performer.
You know what it is? Mm-hmm. Shay was actually relying on her dance ability.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny part, though, is somebody said this to me. They believe that the questions that Rue asked her right before she did that, in terms of the family and what was going on, believe that that could have mentally shook her and took her into a different place that maybe have shut her energy down to live up to the lip sync for her life.
Right. And for some people that don't know, it's like Shay lost her father and her sister.
Within a month of each other,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like that. That's a lot on a plate, and then mm-hmm. you know, to be then put in a position to relive that right before you about to perform, it's hard to take your head out of that scenario to find the energy mm-hmm. to do the next thing mm-hmm. you're supposed to do.
Right.
I'm not saying that in defense of Shay, but I'm saying that could possibly be a possibility.
And some people take the other extreme, and some people take that pain and they put it into the performance and they make it work.
I'm a fuel queen. A fuel queen is a person who takes everything around them and channel it in. Mm-hmm.
That you just like to huff paint fumes.
No, honey, I'm not from down south.
Can we talk a little bit about the looks that the drag queens wore when they first appeared on the Drag Race finale? Starting off with Valentina's purple gown, I thought it was a little bit underwhelming for her.
You know what? I have to go and take a look at that.
Let me send you a link. I'll send you the link on here so you can see it.
Yeah, send me the link real quick. Oh, yeah, that was quick and fast.
Wait, that was the wrong one. Hold on a second, honey.
You sent me a link to a porn site.
I know. Sorry. Here it is. Sorry, wrong link. Okay, there you go. So scroll down there. Maybe let's talk about the Sasha Velour's Infant of Prague blue. She looked like one of those, you know, reliquary objects, right?
She definitely did.
No. Actually, no. She was literally giving you like, I am Russian royalty. She was like soaking in so much glamour and elegance. It's like at that point, I'm convinced she was the Manchurian drag candidate.
No. You saw Jurassic Park. You know that one dinosaur that spits? The stuff comes off and spits at Newman.
At the end of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, when they were doing the last number and mm-hmm. they had the costume and mm-hmm. the shoulders popped up.
Yeah.
It's that same kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that is definitely a queen. That is a queen outfit. What's interesting about Charlie too, Charlie's like recently on social media was telling like, you know, when you're an older queen, if you're going to compete with these younger queens, you kind of have to update your look. Make a couple changes.
It's true.
And then he came out and he's like, he's still wearing like his Charlie necklace that I feel like I've seen before.
We know who you are, Charlie.
You know why he wears that Charlie necklace? So people don't call him the old one.
No. You know what? That was so shady. That sounds like something Juju B would say. No, so what you don't know is this. The older queens in England, I have two friends, Twiggy and Chrissy Darling. Mm-hmm. These are two club kids who literally are the full embodiment of Lee Bowery. I can send you their links later on. And every outfit that they make, they have their names across the top of their head in their built into their costumes. So one would say Twiggy and the other one would say Chrissy. And so I think Charlie, having been around from back then with these queens, she's part of that era of girls where they wear their name on some part of them. So you mm-hmm. will always know who the hell they are. So they don't have to go, who's that queen right there?
With Twiggy I'm surprised that she doesn't have charliehides.com written on her neck. I mean, at this point, it's like, we know who you are. We know where to find you. It comes across as desperate to me.
It's a British thing. It's a British older quote thing.
But Fergie, will.i.am, and the Queen of Bounce.
Big Freedia
are all musicians who work their names into their song lyrics, mm-hmm. or their song title. And so I can understand why a drag queen would feel like it's cool and fun to work their names into their looks, because drag queens are all about their looks. But, you know, if Charlie's name is so important to Charlie, make the whole dress one giant Charlie. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't just hang it around your neck like some,
yeah,
you
make
know,
it kind of now kind of wow, Charlie.
Maybe she should tattoo it around her neck.
Maybe. Let's talk about the best wig, Cynthia Lee Fontaine's wig. Yeah. How does that even, what is even happening there? How do you even make something like that?
That's teased?
No, sweetie.
Yeah.
It looks like it's a foam wig because there is no...
That's teased
hair. If you look, if you zoom in on it, actually, because I actually went and mm-hmm. investigated... it's actually teased hair that's been, I guess, some sort of gelling agent, mm-hmm. and it's shaped into that. But that's actually, it's more like foam, hair foam, than it is, you know, strands of hair. It's a really weird material that they're using, or how they're styling that wig. Mm-hmm. It's not what you think it is.
Well, I want to know exactly what it is.
It doesn't, it's not it? Straight hair.
It is hair.
It's very kinky. It's been teased tremendously and then shaped into that kind of vagina, you know.
And then it's been shellacked to the death of gods.
Well, it's gorgeous.
It literally is its own sentient being.
That's a toot. And Shea Coulee's, she did the Coming to America kind of reference with the hair and the dress. And I wonder if the young people in the audience got that. Do they know that movie?
I don't think they did, but I loved what Shea mm-hmm. had on.
Mm-hmm. It was a gorgeous dress.
Yeah, I was sitting there going, I wonder if did she make those herself or did she have some? Because you got to remember, Shea Coulee knows how to sew the house down.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like,
she works with a couple of local designers, too. One of my friends on Facebook is Tiger Lily,
right?
Yeah, and I think you can find her like on Twitter under like Gimme Tiger Lily. But if you want her to make you things, you better come with cash in hand.
And large amounts of it.
Is she Asian?
Yes, she's Filipina.
Stuff for kimchi.
Yeah, she did stuff for kimchi. She did Kimchi's look for the finale last year.
That was gorgeous.
Big giant dress. And then what do you think? Bob dressed in his African peanut curry with tofu, purple potatoes, and naan bread realness. looking like Bibi Zahara Benet got tangled up in a fishing line.
I thought Bob looked absolutely gorgeous. I was happy that she was embracing her Black heritage.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, girl.
Bob said recently that people said he could never top Violet's look, but Bob said he would love to top Violet.
Top Violet Chachki. Bob, while you're topping Violet Chachki, let me jump in too, cause, honey, mm-hmm. I would get very violent up in that tchotchke, mm-hmm. honey.
And it was kind of funny when Rue was asking Bob about, how's your year been? He's like, oh, it's been fantastic. I've touched a lot of people. And like, well, what do you have to look forward to? And he's like, I have my comedy special coming up on Logo. And Rue was just like, oh, isn't that cute? On Logo.
I like it. I'm actually looking forward to it because all season long, mm-hmm. all season long, we've been waiting to hear what's Bob going to do next. Mm. I guess the reason why I didn't have to worry about what any other queen was doing was because for the last three seasons, I've been happy that Bianca has just won all three seasons straight. Sorry. I love me. Listen.
She was at the crowning of Sasha.
No, because Bianca was also en route traveling. as was many other drag queen girls from previous seasons and also many winners of previous seasons. They weren't there. I think Bob was literally the only one available in town.
When they did the live crowning, though, when Sasha was announced between Sasha and Peppermint who was going to be, they had on stage, it was, I think it was Violet, Bob, and Bianca at the event in New York.
No. It was Bianca, Bianca, Bob, and Shangela. That's who I saw on stage.
Oh, that's who it was. Yes. You're right.
Yes. I don't remember seeing Violet. I remember seeing Shangela because I knew she was emceeing part of it. I saw Bianca and I saw Bob. So that was beautiful. At least Bianca was there for that. But, you know, I've always loved the fact that in previous seasons, this is the first season where there wasn't a line of succession with all the reigning queens there to give their energy to the new girl.
Mm.
And because I always felt that is so fierce to see all of them line up, you know, from day one. I wonder why they didn't
budget. Like, what was the deal?
There's not. No, I believe that this year, for the fact that it went to VH1 as opposed to Logo, so many things were shifted for so quickly that other people had already made schedules and nothing could be done in terms of changing it to match the finale. Think about this. By the time they had also done DragCon is normally supposed to be the week after crowning in previous seasons.
Right.
By the time they did DragCon, the season was like on episode 6. You know, so everything was off this year. I think I think even for season 10, I'm hoping that Mother Ru gets those new contestants in time to do the filming and the editing to get it properly to VH1 to get it into the right time slot. So please, Mother Ru, please let it be on a Monday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday of the next coming year, because it's so that it doesn't take away from LGBT nightlife on the weekends.
Will we be able to survive in a world without Wendy Williams giving commentary on Drag Race?
She needs to go the way of Azalea Banks. Bye, bitch. No.
So I felt like the weakest aspect of Drag Race was the judging in some regard, because we don't really get to see the people who are actually making the decisions. And I would love to see Randy and Fenton, the producers of Drag Race, show themselves and, you know, even just stand up and wave at least, because they're talking with RuPaul and they're the ones who are actually like deliberating on who to keep and who to send home. And I would love to see that aspect of the production revealed. But at the same time, I understand the judges we see are decoys for the actual people who are pulling the strings.
Well, here's the thing. You know, God is in the background right now running the planet. He's not making an appearance anytime soon, but he's doing a really good job. So I don't have a problem with God being Randy and Fenton doing their magic from behind the scenes. As far as I'm concerned, they do a really good job. Between the it's actually four:
Randy Barbato, Fenton Bailey, RuPaul Charles, and there's a fourth producer. There's a woman.
Yes, and she's a good friend. She's a wonderful lady. I'm not going to call out her name because I don't need nobody to try to go and Google her name and be like, "Hey, girl, you need to get me on the next season," because she's also the one who calls and tells you if you make it to Drag Race.
Well, her name appear on the bottom of the credits when the show starts.
And I'm glad that the credits go real fast so people don't get into it. You keep doing your thing, Miss. I love all of them combined together, and they do a wonderful job of deliberating. And, you know, all their results, even when I left, I hold no animosity towards, no, RuPaul did not fuck the vivacious drag career or whatever. No, I'm not that person.
So you're grateful for the experiences that you've had on Drag Race?
Of course, beyond.
Can you give us an insight on what it's like to lip sync for your life and then to be eliminated? What is going on through your head?
Here's the thing. Lip syncs don't faze me. I will kill a bitch on a lip sync. I'm the type of person, it's like if you drop a track right now and go do that number, I'll do it as though RuPaul was judging me for all my life. But that's how I've always done my numbers. It's like if you ever meet a queen who says that lip sync for her life scares her, then that person shouldn't be a drag queen. Lip syncing for your life, it should be as so cozy as masturbating. It should actually get you off.
Vivacious is horny.
No.
Jaws is going to be attacking you.
No, I mean, you know, but no, I wasn't fazed by it at all, you know, but you also have to remember, by the time that I left, I was, the week before I was on the bottom, and that week I was on the bottom again. So it was like, okay, girl, your main attraction is at the bottom. You might have to, you know, whatever, you know,
and it would have been nice to, I think you were eliminated second or third in your season.
Third. Yeah, for all the damn wrong reasons, as far as I'm concerned.
It would have been nice to see you go a little further because you've contributed so much to the vocabulary of Drag Race.
Well, you know, I told Mother Ru, if you keep me on that show, I will give you such a dick show, you will have Nerys for life. And instead, she's now just stuck with Juju B's reading in Talangong, you know. Honey, the fiercest read that ever happened on Drag Race was Juju B.
A lot of people are rooting for you on social media to be part of All Stars 3. Would you take
All Stars 3 or 4. I will take either one if they look in my direction. You know, I've been making costumes and putting them down to the side. I don't put them out in social media and I don't post them online because I don't need anyone to know what I plan to bring to Drag Race if they call me back.
So if a drag queen wants to get on Drag Race and succeed, does she sort of have to create a dressing room vault of amazing costumes that she doesn't wear?
Yes, she better do, because let me tell you something. When I got to my season, Gia motherfucking Gun and La Ganja smoke that weed extravaganza, honey, and Courtney Yak, but we're not even going to, we'll take Courtney Yak out of the equation. Them two girls walked in there with weapons of mass destructions, of costumes and hair pieces. They had costume for days. They had hair pieces fully done. It didn't even need to be sprayed. I mean, technically speaking, I thought every piece of costume that Gia Gunn owned, I thought she had a little, you know, like a car remote, you just press the button and it activates and goes on her body. Her shit was that tight. It's like, you have to come to Drag Race done. Katunga. I mean, done.
Who do you want to see on All Stars 3? Willem says he's out.
I would love to see Milk.
That would be fun.
I would love to see Trinity K. Bonet on All Stars.
Trinity the Talk?
No, Trinity K. Bonet.
The black one.
But the white one, too.
The Battle of the Trinities?
Yeah.
I guarantee you, Trinity K. would win that one. Let me tell you something. I don't know anybody who can... When it comes to get down into the lip syncing and the dancing, Trinity will kill you.
Who's making the most money that has not been on All Stars is the one they'll give the crown to so they can get a percentage of her earnings. Because that's what I said to Alaska. I said, if they're going to put you on All Stars 2, you're going to win it because you're bringing in the most money. And he's just like, yeah, right. And that was like way before they cast it or anything, you know. And sure and enough,
then she won.
Yeah.
And she Alaska walked to all the banks.
And Alaska doesn't tell me how much she makes. I just see, you know, her audience brings in like $20 bills, $100 bills, and like spends it there. You know, I don't see like there are few drag queens who monetize their careers as well as Alaska does. Like those albums sell very well. Also, Adore Delano, her music sells extremely well.
But she's not getting any of that cash because she's got to sue for it. Is that lawsuit settled yet?
I don't know what's going on there.
I'm sure it's probably still in litigation and on the private sealed thing. But I'm sure from the point that Adore made her point until now, I think Adore's probably getting all her money directly. So regardless of what was said against, you know, producer or whatever their name was, I'm sure from this point forward, Adore will be in a better place in terms of, and I, Adore, if you're listening to this, don't let somebody else handle your money, honey. Handle that shit yourself.
Yeah, just send the money to me and then I'll send you a check every now and then.
You know, it's
what about, I'm sorry, Trixie Mattel for All Stars 3? No?
That could be cute.
Vivacious isn't feeling it. It wasn't her first thought.
No, that could be cute.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's like, I would love to see India Farah, Morgan McMichaels on All Stars 3. That's, you know, I have my favorite girls. You know, I would love to see Mariah Balenciaga on All Stars 3, Jaden Dior Fierce. You know, those I like girls who give energy. I would like to see Gia and LaGanja on All Stars 3. And I think that might actually happen.
Yeah, I think Gia Gunn and LaGanja lip syncing against each other is a given.
Do you think LaGanja would go back into the fold?
Oh, she'd be fool not to.
I don't think LaGanja is an opportunity girl. I'm not going to say an opportunist. Opportunity. Mm-hmm. If an opportunity comes up for something that LaGanja feels that is in her right direction, LaGanja will, yes, go for it. LaGanja is not an opportunist. An opportunist is a person that takes advantage of everything for all the wrong reasons. LaGanja will go for All Stars 3 if given the opportunity to be in it. And I think LaGanja should go for it if they ask her. I'm a big LaGanja Estranja fan. I'm like, if I liked her anymore, I'd probably go and do myself against a tree. It's like, I like her that much. I like everything she stands for. I like everything that she's doing between herself as a boy and also with the drag. I live for the fact that every time she goes to a new country, she finds the place that has the most significance and she does a death drop in front of it. I'm like, bitch, you better work! She went to the Berlin Wall and did the death drop at the Berlin Wall. I think she went to Machu Picchu and did the death drop at Machu Picchu as well. She is literally death dropping her way around the planet, and I think that's fierce.
So here's a list of the rumored drag queens that have been cast in for season 10, the season of the X, right, of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Ooh, where's that?
Ariel Versace, Helvetica, Nebraska Thunderfuck, Porcelain, Rhea Litter, Rita Von Hunty, Scarlet Starlet, Anita Waistline, Aquaria, and Aina All. Do you know any of these people?
Yeah. Porcelain I've heard of.
Well, Nebraska Thunderfuck, I believe, is
the only queen.
Is what's her name's
drag daughter? Alexis.
No, it's boy. She's in a group.
Courtney Act.
No, the Britney Spears from Las Vegas. She's in a group marriage with them. She's fucking her.
Nebraska is in a group marriage with Derek Barry.
Derek Barry. That's the one.
Calling her Derek Barry, Britney Spears, but I always forget Derek Barry's name.
I just really wish if Derek Barry would have come up with a more feminine name, because she's too fucking gorgeous for me to look at her and say Derek. That's so insulting. I'm like, I'm sorry. No, I'm like, I see a woman in front of me.
So I certainly see Nebraska Thunderfuck on the series.
The only queen that I would like to see from New York on Drag Race is Aquaria. No one else.
The Vixen here in Chicago, very likely front runner to be on Drag Race. She's auditioning, I'm sure. But she's been getting into a lot of fights with queens.
I don't think RuPaul is really looking for a troublemaker to come on the damn show, because usually people who are doing who are fighting other queens in other states means if they come on RuPaul's Drag Race, is going to end up sounding like some ungrateful asshole after the whole thing is over. And, you know, the last thing RuPaul needs is somebody on season 10 to try to smear the reputation of the show because they don't know how to act out in public. You know,
Hashtag Carmen Carrera.
Honey, please, they already sent her to the fucking gallows. She can say she's still surviving, but good luck on that. Don't bite the hand that feeds you.
So let's go over all the transgender queens from seasons past of RuPaul's Drag Race. According
Monica
to RuPaul,
Beverly Hills,
whose real name is she's not, her secret is that she's not from Beverly Hills.
Well, listen, if you know any of their slave names, the slave name is the name that your biological parents gave you
before. Monica de Jesus Anaya.
I call her the annihilator.
She is an annihilator. She's slayishly beautiful and she gets the job done. And now we have to add to the ranks Gia Gunn. Congratulations, my season 6 sister.
Oh, she came on as trans, right?
Yeah, she came on the show and she said she wasn't trans, but I was like, the minute I met Gia Gunn, I was like, you know, I was like, this is a transgender person. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a transgender spirit.
Gia, let me tell you something. From the first time I met you, I kept calling you fish. That was even before you said the word fish and kept trying to say you were tilapia.
Thanks for being fish to the fish.
I always knew you were a lady. You will always continue to be a lady, honey. You go on with your Trish Takanawa self.
Little Kenya Michaels, the cookie from Puerto Rico.
Honey, Miss Kenya's boobs are beyond cute. They look so good on her. She looks gorgeous. And she's out there doing her thing. Sonique as well. Sonique is a very, very fierce performer. But more importantly, an extremely wonderful soul and a fierce fucking dancer. I live.
Stacey Lynn Matthews, like who transitioned with the fried chicken diet.
She said she did the fast food transition.
Yes.
Well, you know, it's funny. From the minute Stacey Lynn came on the show, me and my best friend Sal back then, we were like, oh, girl, that's a lady. I don't care what she calls herself right now. RuPaul just put it. Sal would come on the phone and go, there's a tranny on the show.
Carmen Carrera. Stacey Lynn Matthews. Carmen Carrera.
She did her transition after Drag Race, and it was so sudden because it happened so quick. It was like she left the show 1 week, she was still a boy, and then like 3 weeks later, it's like it wasn't even a slight transition. It's like she literally went from 0 to 100 in 3.5 seconds.
Well, she also did a lot of vocal training, so like you used to hearing her voice on Drag Race, and then you see her, of course, in interviews. The most famous when she told Katie Couric to keep my name and your eyes out of my crotch. Remember Katie Couric was like, have you had this surgery and stuff? And she's like looking at her crotch. And I'm just like, what was wrong with Katie Couric?
Nobody told her.
Well, you know, sometimes straight people, you know, sometimes, you know, that whole thing is like, I'm not trying to be shady, but. And then it's like, you started out the sentence with, I'm not going to be shady. Yes, you're about to be shady. And one thing that I do know about straight people, and this is from me sleeping with too many of them over the last 27 years, is they love to take digs at gay people and make it seem like it's an innocent banter. She meant it. And so Carmen, congratulations, and thank you for calling it when you saw it. Don't ever let nobody get the best of you.
Is everything forgiven? Is there peace in the land? It seems like Mimi and First, you know, carrying India Farah out of the theater. It's like everybody's
I saw good. That. I saw that section. I have never keyed so much in my fucking life. So how I saw it first was somebody made a picture meme of the whole thing, and I'm like, that did not happen. And then about like 10 minutes later, I saw the video and I nearly lost my shit. I'm sorry. That was good TV.
It's too bad they didn't make it. Yeah. So Mark, explain what happened in the video.
For people that don't know, is that India Farah was sitting there, and then RuPaul's up on the stage saying, like, oh, I'm sorry, we overbooked tonight. We're going to have to get rid of the seat. I'm sorry, who's sitting in this seat?
In reference to United Airlines.
And she's like, I'm not leaving. No. And then it was just like a Mimi comes over and grabs her and picks her up and carries her away, and everybody loved it.
You know what? I give credit to I give credit that it's what, 5-6 years later that she could just walk up to India Farah and still pick her up. Like,
she's lucky India didn't gain a lot of weight.
I was thinking the same thing too, but you know something, let me tell you something. India Farah is a queen I would love to see on Drag Race. She is by far one of the most underestimated queens, but that bitch is a weapon of mass destruction.
We hung out with her in Milwaukee at Pride Fest 1 year, and she literally, like, she says she paints in the dark. She literally paints in the dark. She turns off the lights in her room, and she sits in front of a mirror, and she puts on her makeup in the dark.
But with a little light.
With a little bit of light, yes. And she does that, she says, because the, you know, because you're in a dark club, so you want to paint for the darkness. And I just thought it was kind of crazy.
Well, because she's all, India Farah is one of those queens who want to paint for the back of the room.
Mm.
So Carmen Carrera's forgiven. Mimi and first.
No, Carmen's not forgiven.
She's not forgiven.
No, no, she's still in the ads, right?
Until we can reclaim the word tranny and not have straight people talk. Do you know that if you write the word tranny on Facebook, Facebook blocks you for like a month?
Oh, yeah. Well, don't write it then.
Fuck. right. You know, but the thing is this. The word tranny also refers to all transvestites. It's not one word that should be taken from one community.
It's a very complicated. That's already, and nobody cares who, if you say it amongst your friends and stuff. But when you put it out in public like that, you have to be very careful because people are very sensitive. And it's a hurtful word to a lot of people.
Bibi Zahara Benet is in this list of transgender queens. And I'm like,
what? When did this happen?
I guess Bibi came out as trans.
She did. We just talked to her. Like,
I know. I was like, I didn't realize that.
Well, did she really need to? Does any drag queen ever really need to come out as trans?
There's a little bit of LGBT in you and me.
Mm.
Or there's a little bit of you and me in everything that's LGBT.
Well, you know, so I had a very close set of friends over the years, probably about 25 drag queens. And we always would sit in a circle and we would all look at each other and go, one of you motherfucking faggots are going to come out as a tranny. Which one is it? And we would say that for weeks.
The gender police.
As we started to dwindle out of the whole club scene and go into like secular, boring human lives, they're all now looking at me going, girl, it's going to be you. Because I'm the last one left standing.
Well, you know, here in Chicago, the drag king scene was super big around 2001, 2002, and they were putting on big shows and people were showing up and stuff like that. And then it all died because they all transitioned. And they were all like, hey, I can be a dude all the time.
Yeah, fuck this show business thing. I'm going for a full-time steady gig.
Mm-hmm.
And last but not least, our new trans queen, Peppermint, who everybody's like, Laverne Cox, who? Here comes someone sweeter. She's a breath of fresh, minty air.
Well, first of all, that'll never happen in terms of Laverne Cox, who, let's set the record straight right now. Those two have been best friends for probably over 19 years and have been supporting each other through thick and thin. So in the New York scene, in terms of the ones that I'm close with, it's Laverne, it's Peppermint, it's Milan, and Mila Jam. Those four queens are like thick as thieves in terms of best friends. They go everywhere together. They go shopping together. They do everything together in public. They go all four at the same time everywhere. Mm. If Laverne goes to LA, Mila's going and she has work lined up for her. You know, and the new, it's not so much new. The other fifth girl that is a part of all of that is Deja Smith. Deja, just for the record, is the one that has been doing Laverne Cox makeup in here for the last, from the time Laverne has literally made that mark since Orange is the New Black. And so every time you see Laverne looking very smashing and beautiful, it's always Deja that's the one that's doing the hair. Mm. And so all five of them have been together for many years.
Ooh, that's good
tea.
And they
go everywhere. They have, it's a family.
Mm-hmm.
They take care of each other. So Peppermint will never sit there and try to downplay Laverne Cox. And Laverne will never sit there and try to downplay any of her other sisters. These girls are in it equally as friends and best friends for many years. And the friendship is so amazing because let me tell you something. when Peppermint got that damn call for Drag Race, bitch, I was like, I will help you with anything you need. When I went downstairs, that bitch had people up in that apartment helping her put all her shit together. They were stoning. And guess who was in the middle of all of that?
Cool.
All her trans friends helping her.
Mm.
Peppermint. All her trans friends.
And so are you saying that Laverne Cox helped to glue rhinestones onto Peppermint's ball gowns?
Not the day that I was there, but I'm sure she had popped through it a few times if she was in town. But some of her other girlfriends, they were there helping her.
Before we end the show, I want to congratulate RuPaul. She's getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Congratulations, Mother Ru. That news made my day.
Ru's getting a big pink star.
A star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame costs about $30,000. Yeah, probably VH1 or maybe World of Wonder's paying for it.
Mark Hamill's getting one, too.
Also, too, I think if you're going to get one of those, you also have to have a fan club because people have to maintain those things. People go out and polish them.
She deserves that, and she should have had it, you know, back when she read Milton Berle, but that didn't happen. But I mean, let's talk about how resilient Mother Ru was. Milton Berle came for her in the dressing room. She decided to turn it around on stage and being sassy and let him have it while smiling to his face.
The rumor is that he kept showing RuPaul his big dick and said, "Yeah, you got a big dick. Look at mine." And RuPaul was just like, who the fuck was famous.
He was famous for showing his dick to people, yeah, whether they wanted to see it or not. I don't know if he showed it to Ru or not, but
he was probably turned on.
In this day and age, I mean, that's considered sexual harassment, whatever. Let's jump past that. But, you know, she read him and Hollywood decided to turn their back on her. And between her and Randy and Fenton, they came together with something and kept on going through all these years and was able to still break through the Hollywood ceiling and came out shining brighter than a fucking diamond, to the point where now other shows hinge on what RuPaul is doing. As in, look at that lip sync battle thing that's now doing. They're now copying her show so that they can have a life for straight people. You know, so it's like, you know, it's like, and if you listen to a lot of the shows that are happening now on TV in the background, you can hear RuPaul's music in the back in instrumental mode.
It didn't work out too well for Santa's in the Barn, where 12 of America's top Santa Clauses competed. This is a real thing, actually. Competed to be America's next top Santa Claus, and one of the lines in the show was "May the best Santa win."
And may the best Santa
win. And it had one season. It was so good they only had to do one season of it.
Hey, Drag You lasted what, 3 seasons?
You know, and I think I really would love to see Lady Bunny be on Drag Race as a judge. I think it's time.
Hasn't she been on Drag Race before?
She's never judge?
Drag
ever,
You.
She's been on Drag You. Lady Bunny has never physically stepped in front of a Drag Race camera.
I don't know if she'd be able to sit still for that long.
She can do it.
Maybe.
It would be hilarious. Oh, my God.
By the time the camera turned on, Bunny would be reading the fuck out of everybody in the room.
I would love to see it.
That would be worth tuning in just to see Lady Bunny like reading the queens.
What else can we imagine that they do on this TV show that we love so much?
I'm a big Lady Bunny fan.
Do you guys feel like the high def this season, they edited down the runway and they put it on high definition, which people were saying this is transphobic?
I don't get it.
Because it was just like, it was showing all the queens and their makeup and their flaws, you know, and it's like their wig lines and
What is that drag?
Shea Coulee was talking about where the wig line. This is like on
baby
top.
Hairs or something.
Yeah.
It's called your edges are snatched.
Your edges are snatched. She's edging and not in the sexual way, but the fact that you could see where the wig started and the skin. And to me, I was like, I liked the fact that it was on high definition, but I do feel like there's something. I didn't realize that Drag Race all these years wasn't in high definition.
Not only that, is this, as far as Delta work is concerned, You should know how to cut the mesh on your wig properly and know how to glue it properly so you do not have a yard of mesh in front of your face for your wig.
Mm. Well, part of it is that they spend all this money on these wigs that they're terrified to mess with them.
It's like, honey, then learn how to handle that hair, because you shouldn't have a mile of mesh in front of your head to hold it on your head. If you believe that that's the case, then you need to put a stocking band on your head and start pinning through those wigs so that you can hold your stuff on, or do the trick that Coco does. She wraps the head in the stocking and then she wraps her head in double-sided duct tape and then put the wig on and still pin everything so she can whip her hair back and forth and nothing move. And Coco doesn't have a mile of mesh in front of her head. Everybody knows Coco Montrese has some of the fiercest lace front wigs than what she wears. You don't see Coco with a mile off mesh in front of her head. So it's not HD's fault that these queens were given mesh. They need to learn that you need to cut that damn thing down. They did that to themselves.
Vivacious, how was your pride before we wrap this up here? You were on
the sex DJing. Museum. What were you doing?
The sex museum.
Okay. Before the sex museum, I flew to Norway, to Bergen, to be the DJ for Bergen Pride, which was gorgeous. The men was beautiful. Even the project director, Joachim.
Yeah.
Who hired me to go over there and work. I can't get him out of my head.
Because you gave him the Jaws treatment?
Even though he has a boyfriend, he's still the most beautiful man I've ever seen next to my Axel and his husband, Andre. But it was wonderful. It was so beautiful and so scene-esque. It was so... And while I was in the middle of DJing and doing a number, guess who was in the crowd that came up and tipped me real quick?
Who's that?
Bianca Del Rio.
She was in Norway?
Yeah, she was in Norway, and she was in the crowd and came up and tipped me $1 out of the $100,000 that she had.
Oh, that's so sweet.
So now yeah, she has $900 and $900. Well, actually, Uncle Sam took half of that.
Right. So what people don't know is Bianca is probably one of the most nicest, most sweetest queens you could ever meet. It's like she's so nice, she'll actually give you diabetes. It's like that fucking crazy with her. She's really that nice, and she's really that humble of a person. I love the bitch. I'm a big Bianca Del Rio fan. And then we came back to New York, and then it was I have a Saturday party at the Museum of Sex. Every week I dress up. I sew and design costumes, my friend and myself, Adrian, and we dress all our dancers and we do full theme shows. And we you know, it's one of the last parties in New York City that still functions like the early 90s, where there's actually male go-go dancers, female go-go dancers, and a drag queen all working together at the same time doing shows. Because all the parties in New York City nowadays is either just drag queens or nothing.
Mm.
The scene in New York has changed. And then in the straight clubs, they don't even want drag queens anymore. They're like, we just want a DJ.
That's terrible.
You need the atmosphere.
And they think that that's entertainment. And I'm like, no, honey, what you're serving the world is a boring fucking party. So we decided, between my people and myself, we decided to go and do our own parties. One of the reasons why you don't see me, you know, it's like I might not be traveling a lot like, you know, top five girls do, but I like to throw my own parties. I don't work for other people. I throw my own parties. I work for myself.
That's the way to do it.
So, you know, so whereas all these other girls are running around for somebody else to pay them, I do my own parties, bring in my own crowd, and pick up all my cointadas myself. So that's what I've been doing for many years.
Cointadas is my new favorite word.
It is. Jasmine Masters, thank you. I nearly said Jasmine Guy. Jasmine Masters, thank you. You know,
are you guys talking about me?
You sound like Varla Jean Merman, bitch.
Jazz, what happened? She's still around. She's like, she was really up there in the, you know, years when she was on a different world.
Who, Jasmine Guy?
Mm-hmm.
She did not age so well.
No, she's like,
really?
No, she looks like Shea Coulee did when she was dressed up as an old lady on Drag Race.
Bitch, you got me looking for Jasmine Master.
Oh,
Jasmine,
yeah. They Jasmine say black, guy. Don't, black don't crack, but sometimes it crumbles.
It cracks real. Like, you're terrible.
I'm just saying.
She looks like Raven Simonier now. That's how bad she looks.
No, she looks like an old woman.
She is just like,
and it's like you look at Lisa Bonet, and Lisa Bonet still looks fantastic.
Lisa Bonet looks like Lisa Bonet mm-hmm. did when yeah. she was a teenager.
Yeah.
Well, Jasmine Guy now really does look like, she looks like an old black witch.
Yeah, she played an old black witch on Vampire Diaries.
Did she?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's funny. Yeah,
she did.
But she was good back in it. Remember when she did School Days?
Yeah, she was one of the, you know, 90s camp superstars.
Remember when she played a hooker on Harlem Nights?
Yeah.
I mean, she was
Jack Hay.
Delta Work.
Delta Burke, who Delta Work is named based off of. I mean, the whole cast of Designing Women, too. You know,
right.
They were before Golden Girls was something.
I mean, I used to live for Designing Women. They were the original Golden Girls to me. I mean, Meshack Taylor, the whole crew.
He never came out. I could have sworn he was gay in real life, but he was married and had kids.
Yeah. He was married, had kids, the whole nine yards. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you can be a little bi-curious and still be married. Well, kids.
Remember when he played? Remember he played the homosexual guy in Mannequin?
Mannequin 1 and Mannequin 2 on the Move, yes. Which actually focuses on his character. One of the greatest films ever made.
Yeah, that was a good that was good movie back then.
Hollywood. Do my thighs look fat to you? Do they?
Well, you want to hear something funny? What? In college, they used to call me Hollywood.
I believe that.
I believe it.
And that was their way of saying I was the gay one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They would sit there and call me Hollywood.
You know those sunglasses that Meshack Taylor as Hollywood wears in the, at least in the Mannequin, original Mannequin movie with Kim Cattrall, the best Vulcan of Star Trek ever, cuz she got kicked off for posing nude in a pair of pumps and in her Vulcan ears on the bridge of the Enterprise.
Giamatti was not having it.
So the actor who plays Spock,
Leonard Nimoy
got a hold of the negatives and had them destroyed and had them rewrite her character to kill her off because she pissed him off so much by posing nude in her Vulcan makeup and her heels when she was in that Star Trek movie with him. That's what kind of badass she is. Anyways, it's a fantastic movie. You guys check it out. Mannequin. It's I think it's available on Amazon Prime. It's not on Netflix. Vivacious, it's always a pleasure kicking with you. It's really a Kiki podcast magic fun time with you.
We always have fun together. And to all the wonderful children out there, thank you for always tuning in. You know, sometimes I wish if y'all had questions ahead of time from the fans, get them to me so I could answer them. That would be lots of fun.
Well, we'll do Ask Vivacious Anything next time.
Next time, for sure.
And you can answer every single question with, like, what the fuck do I know?
I'll turn into Nina Bonina Brown from Snatch Game. That was good.
Here, let's practice really fast. Hey, Vivacious. Me and my boyfriend are getting married. We're trying to figure out if we should go on honeymoon to Hawaii or to Barbados. What do you think?
I don't care where y'all trying to go. As long as you bring me with you. Y'all got any money for me? I need your coins.
Vivacious, do you believe in God?
No, I believe in me. Nina Bonina Osama Bin Laden, God Brown, honey. What's wrong with you?
Vivacious, do these shoes go with these slacks?
Miss Thing, hold on a second and let me go paint you an orange peach to match that, and then you'll look fierce.
I think this might actually be a good show.
I think we have a video for you, girl.
Yeah.
I think we do. I think we do.
Vivacious, I love you so much, sweetie.
Love you both so much. And thank you again for having me. And congratulations, Sasha Velour. You came. Yes. You came with a crown on your head and manifested it into the universe, and the universe turned around and gave you a real crown.
Mm.
That's true. She entered screaming, and when she won, the fans were screaming.
Yes, she earned that crown fair and square, and I'm very happy for her. And to all my other top three girls that were on stage with Sasha, honey, the world is about to love you all unconditionally. Get those money and go invest in something fierce. But if any one of y'all want to send $5,000 my way so I could start up an Ornatia Foundation project thing, y'all let me know, okay?
The Ornatia Foundation for Wayward Drag Queens, because a wig is a terrible thing to waste.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, Vivacious.
Bye-bye, loves. I will catch you later.
Later.
Vivacious lives in New York City. Check her out on social media, Vivacious NYC. She's one of my favorite people.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
She has a Vivacious SSF.
What's that?
I don't know. San Francisco Fierce SSF? Girl.
I want to remind folks, too, we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus, because your contribution to the show is what makes this show happen.
I want to remind folks that we have some fantastic t-shirts at our store, feastoffun.com/store. And I want to do a special shout out to my co-star, Mark Felian.
Thank you.
You really were cracking me up throughout this show with you. You really delivered quite
Why, lovely. Thank you. Thank you. I try. A couple of those jokes I wrote ahead of time.
Oh, you were like, I got these digs. Sasha Velour is somebody who has been a part of the Feast of Fun community and part of the Austin International Drag Festival community, which we're going to be a part of in November. She's one of the featured artists.
Yay.
It's now public information. So
awesome.
We can announce it.
Is she hiking up her fee then?
I hope so.
She goes, I won, damn it. Pay me more.
That's right, honey. Cointadas. Time to get in line. So Austin International Drag Festival, it's probably much easier to get yourself a photo with Sasha Velour, get some quality time with Sasha Velour, I would imagine. I can't speak for her or her management, but it is a much more intimate festival.
She's being managed by the same people that do Kim Chi and Shay and Naomi Smalls.
It's a small world, after all.
I know, right?
Ooh. You know, I have to say,
he's been on the show, Anthony. He's been on the podcast before. Oh, my God.
What a manager.
Handsome, the very handsome Anthony. She's like, sign where?
Yeah. What else do you want?
Hope everybody also had a happy Pride, and I guess we'll talk more about Pride in another podcast.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.